Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Agency Revolution, where we help you connect with your clients in ways you never thought possible, building better, longer-lasting relationships. I'm Joel Zwicker, and today I have the opportunity to have a great conversation with Jason Marlowe, who is the Director of Marketing at Insurance Hub. Now today, we've done something just a little bit different. We've often thought about it here at the Connected Insurance Podcast. It often gets said that, hey, we should just record the conversation leading up to the actual podcast. They're actually really good. There's actually great information. It might even be better than the actual podcast. So Jason and I thought we would go for it. So without further ado, here is Jason. All right, Jason, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So here's the deal, folks. I've said numerous times in these podcasts that I should really just record the conversation that happens before the podcast, because typically those are really awesome, really engaging. And so, you know what? That's what we're doing this time. And so, Jason, you and I, we connected after a recent webinar that we had about, real practical advice for an independent insurance agency with respect to marketing. Mm-hmm. And you said, my head's spinning. I have so many ideas, so many things to add. So tell me where that came from. What do you got?
So real quick about me. So I'm the marketing director here at Insurance Hub, and I've been here for probably about 4 years now. And I was listening to the podcast, and there's a lot of stuff that you learn just in the world of marketing. And then once you get specifically into insurance, that kind of sets you up for success. Because it's not all the same. So like strategies that apply to the general world of marketing don't necessarily apply well to the insurance world, especially, specifically how it applies to independent agents. Because the biggest thing that you have to be aware of is how much time and how much money you need to invest, right?
Yeah, I get it. So Jason, can I just want to pause you, and it's funny, I said I won't overtalk too much in this because I want your input, but can you give us just a little example of what you kind of let off there where maybe traditional marketing principles, if you will, don't necessarily flow into this industry?
So things that don't necessarily apply to the insurance world as it applies to like general marketing world is, you know, you have a lot of restrictions when it comes to how you can market. So say you want to get up and running on, say, Facebook, for example, and start running ads and generating leads. You can often run into restrictions on the type of questions you can ask people, the type of comments that you can make, and the type of targeting that you do. So with respect to that specifically, you kind of have to be really aware of those restrictions if you really want to get into the Facebook marketing space with all of the financial issues that you can get into and the specific type of questions that you can ask.
Got it. So now I'll let you get back into where you were going with that last one. That's a great example because I think Facebook's pretty popular or a general mystery for especially the smaller agency, right? So yeah. Thanks for that.
Well, so let's just dive in there, right? So let's just talk about Facebook. So, one of the things I hear a lot, and it's because it's still kind of buzzy, but I feel like the buzz is way different or way less now, but like social media. Everybody's like, you got to be on social media. You got to get your brand out there on social media. But at the same time, you have to know like, what's my balance going to be? Because social media, you got to pick a place and dive in. And a lot of times it's a really big time investment. And you also have to realize that that time investment is also going to have a monetary investment, because Facebook specifically is pay to play. You know, when I started out doing Facebook, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, like heavy into Facebook advertising, this is so different. Actually, you could get a nice campaign up and running for essentially no money. And you could talk to your audience. Say you had an audience of several thousand people or 50,000 people. You could post something and they would see it. There would be a large amount of people organically who would see it. And then, you know, I don't know the timeline, but probably around 7 years ago or so, there was a huge shift in the visibility that business pages got. And it was a point a couple years ago, I think the stat was, I don't know, maybe around 1% of all of your actual audience is actually going to see your stuff organically. So then you have to pay to get it seen. And so, you know, it's nice. It's all well and good to be on social media and be active and post and engage, but you also have to go, okay, well, what budget can I spend? Okay, so I'm going to post every other day. So I need to earmark what, $5 or $10 each time I post so people see my things. And then you have to go, okay, well, is it really worth that investment that I'm putting in? I'm spending a lot of time now. I'm coming up with content. I'm sharing things, but am I also spending money on it? Because, you know, in my mind, what's the point? If you're not spending money on it and no one's seeing it, why am I even spending the time to build this content? You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree. And I was one of the fortunate few. Actually, I was involved with an agency that we kind of blew up our Facebook page. And it was back in that time frame, I guess it's back 8 or 9 years ago now, where he kind of posted something and everybody saw it. And actually, we were a little bit fortunate, and I think Facebook was in its, I won't say infancy, but really in the world of business, it was in its infancy. So we saw some incredible traffic, but I know agencies now really do struggle with getting that. So when you say, like, what's a realistic budget for an agency to get their posts even seen by, you know, say you're in a small city, maybe 80, 90,000 people, maybe half of those are a target audience. Like, any general idea what might be a good spend for an agency, or just to keep it in their mind on maybe a monthly basis?
I would say that if you're really going to invest the time to build out the content, to engage, you don't want to spend, and in fact, I don't even know if you can spend anything less than probably about $5 a post. So say you're going to post every other day, or even every day, or once a week, or whenever it is, just keep that consistent. That's the big key there. But $5-$10 is my minimum. And really all you need to kind of make sure that the people who do engage with your page or could potentially engage with your page see your content. And now, again, that's just really just boosting content that you're posting on your page that you want to get seen by your followers, right? But if you want to spin up like a Facebook marketing campaign, you know, you want to probably earmark quite a bit more. I would say a couple $100 a month, spread out across the month, so it's not that much per day. But with that and some nice targets set in place for the demographics, psychographics, whatever it is that you want to go after, I think that you can actually see some returns on that. But you have to be really diligent about your ads, right? So I usually run an ad and then I watch it like a hawk for several days after it starts, because that audience could not be right, or maybe they don't like the images or video that you're using in your ad. And so you're getting a lot of visibility, but like zero engagement. So I think it's just really important to watch it like a hawk, even with a relatively small budget.
Sure. So I'm just going to, I don't know if I'll call it a little pause here and just ask you a question. So I just think it's important that we define something for people out there because the general, you know, there's a lot of people that think they know, and there's a lot of people that do know, and then there's a lot of people that just don't know. So when we talk about a Facebook ad campaign that you may spend, as you suggested, maybe a budget of a couple hundred dollars a month versus spending $5 or $10 on a post.
Right.
The differences is there. And so, I'll play the fool here. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah. So, if you want to go and you can go to your page, right? So, you know, Independent Insurance Company, LLC, whatever it is, you know, you go to your Facebook page and you're like, I want to post something, say we're going to be closed, for the holiday coming up. Okay. I'm going to put a post out. That's a post. Or, hey, we just wrote an article about, what to do if you're in a wreck and, you know, it's like the five things you need to make sure that you do. So Sarah, we wrote that article and I'm going to post it on our page. Okay. That's a post, right? Obviously. But if you, want to put some money behind that to get some visibility, right? Because you kind of have to now, you can just boost that post, with a little financial backing and it will then go out to whatever audience you want. If you want to go out to your customers, you have your customers, or you can actually have it go to a target segment. Now, Facebook ads are different. And so Facebook ads can run the gamut on any kind of targets and any kind of types of ads they have. So it's actually kind of like an advertising platform. I think if you go to business.facebook.com, you can check out more information. It's like the Facebook Business Manager. It's like a slightly different login, but it gives you way more options to get really granular with how you want to target potential customers. You can even upload your own customer list and market to your customers that way. You can run lead ads and you can run local business ads, so you can promote to a specific area around your business. Lots of different options that you can do that are independent of the posts that actually live on your page. And so instead of just posting something and then putting a little money behind it so your audience can see it, you would be creating an ad going after a specific target segment, and then with an end goal, whether you want to get them on your site or take them back to your page or have them fill out a lead form or call you, whatever it is. With Facebook ads, a lot more options to more so get people into the pipeline and to talk to like your customers and stuff like that. So
I just had, I think I have a clarifying question/comment, and I just had a holy crow moment, Jason.
Yes.
So I'll start off with clarifying kind of the second one, Facebook, it's more of a, probably along the lines of a, what people would be familiar with, maybe a PPC or pay-per-click type situation.
Right.
And the first one is just purely, I want people to see this because it's important. So kind of more of that social approach versus the PPC. Is that kind of an accurate short description there?
Yes, 100%.
Awesome. So now I just had my moment here, right? And I always have them in these calls, and I pride myself in being moderately intelligent when it comes to this stuff. But you just said I can upload a list of my clients to Facebook, and I can target those people. Are you kidding me?
No, absolutely. So they're your customers, right? So, you know, you can, as long as you've done the correct opt-in procedures, right, you can talk to them. But then you can synchronize that content, that customer list with Facebook, and you can, you know, run an ad directly to them. So you can coordinate with email campaigns or direct mail, whatever it is. So,
okay, Jason, I'm stopping you right here.
Yes.
Because everybody that's listening to this right now, regardless of size of the agency, grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, because Jason and I are going to create a winning campaign for you in this moment. All right. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, Jason, why wouldn't you grab a list of cross-sell opportunities? Mm-hmm. Personalized example, really basic. People that have home, no auto, upload those to Facebook. You could leverage that with maybe, you know, so you can do that, right? And we could do like almost a Facebook targeting campaign for everybody that has something but doesn't have something else we want to provide them, correct?
Right. So as long as the this would work primarily with or would work probably better with personal lines, because it syncs up with people who have the same email address on Facebook. So you know, you might lose, I don't know, 40 to 50% because they don't have a Facebook account or they have a different email address that they use. But you can still, you know, talk to a large segment of your list of your customers through Facebook. Yeah, so there's no reason why you wouldn't do it. Just time.
If it was me, I'm going to combine that with maybe an email marketing campaign as well.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Because it takes, well, I don't know, what's it, like 7, 8, 9, 10 touch points to bring a point home when it comes to marketing. So, you know, hit them up with a, so like on a customer care call or whatever, maybe sync up that list to Facebook and it's just like a branding opportunity. So they keep you on top of mind. Tons of opportunities. It's really just like what I was talking about before. It really depends on how much time and energy you want to invest into it.
And so a lot of agencies are getting into, and I know a lot of listeners of this podcast are that agency marketer. And so I'd have to think that this would be something that person could focus on, because that's their job. But as an agency principal, that maybe listen to this that doesn't currently have a marketer, or maybe someone that's a little bit junior and they've kind of brought that young millennial in that is just getting started. They kind of have a know-how about social media.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we could, what's some advice we could provide them in this avenue? Because I find this really intriguing, and this is kind of the grassroots stuff that I think most agencies scratch their head and don't even know exists. So, you know, what kind of guidance, you know, aside from strategy here that we just talked about, that we could provide them?
Well, I think I threw out the URL earlier, but it's that Facebook Business Manager. So you probably just can Google Facebook Business Manager, and I believe that Facebook has some. They have some guides on how to use it and how to target, but most of the stuff in the back end for Facebook Business Manager, which is again what runs the ads and what lets you kind of do all the magic beyond just those front end posts, it's very like, you know, what is that old like thing when you would set up something on the computer that's got the wizard? It's like, did you just keep clicking next, and it kind of guides you through the whole process? So I mean, it's got the whole wizard process as you're building out those ads, and you really just kind of pick and choose what you want to do. It allows you to review it, and even comes with like a library of stock photos if you don't have your own. Lots of stuff that's in there. So I would just check out the Facebook Business Manager. That's where I would start.
Awesome. Yeah, I know here at Agency Revolution, we have our Elevate clients who have Ali leads that team that work in that world. And you'd think I'd know better than that, but I know they really leverage that. So that's really cool to share that out to the world. And I learned something new. So let's, you know, we've been going on this kind of Facebook world. We dove in. Mm-hmm. Is there more there, or, you know, should we jump? Let's jump on to maybe something else here.
We can move around. I do just want to leave one thing, is that for Facebook, it's really, really important to remember that it's pay to play, because I feel like far too many harp on the fact that you should be on social media. But for me, you maybe put one or two posts out a week on your main page and then really focus maybe your efforts on the advertising piece of it, to talk to your own clients and to potentially look at filling up the pipeline with new ones. I feel like that's where you want to spend more of your time. Putting out, you know, continual light communication, but then work on the back end. That would be my suggestion.
And I guess just a little follow-up question then. Is that like, that was a pretty Facebook-y conversation we just had?
Yeah.
Like, is that like similar for other social platforms?
You know, I have not found success in our industry with Twitter. I feel like it's just not there. Like the customers don't live in that environment, at least in my experience. I just wouldn't spend the money there. Now, however, if you looked at something like LinkedIn, LinkedIn has a pretty nice marketing platform. And so if you were kind of going after commercial clients, it might be a nice way to talk to them. But the investment is much higher than what you're going to see with Facebook.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
I'd have to say that I would be, if you're a commercial lines agency, commercial lines producer, commercial lines manager, this may seem really basic, but if you're not on LinkedIn, you should be.
Yeah, at the very least, it's just a premium account, so you can actually communicate with the people that you want to. And that's what, like 50, 60 bucks a month. I mean, it's an investment. But I think that if anything, it's worth it in the LinkedIn space before you even try and dip your toe into the advertising there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, okay, so we got this Facebook idea. We got some great ideas. Flipping back to the webinar podcast you were listening to, you know, give me some more feedback on where you think maybe you had some questions or some things that kind of came to your mind.
You know, one of the things I think it was, did you guys talk about content marketing for a little while?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And it was, so go.
Yeah. So that's where, I like to focus, my efforts, is the content marketing approach. So, it's where you, if you don't know, it's where you essentially take a piece of content and you market it. I mean, it's kind of like in the name, but, for us, it's been something that, has really kind of driven our kind of marketing team for a while. And I think that a lot of agencies are starting to see that benefit as well. And the note that I really have for content marketing is that I think if any of anything else that's out there, it really helps to future-proof the agency by...
Wow, future-proof the agency.
Yeah, I'm going to trademark that.
So keep going. I want to hear about future-proofing my agency, which I think is – that's a real deal comment here. And here's why. Because we have, like, the agency that has the family, the continuation plan here because someone from the family is coming in, taking over. But then you have – the agency that's, you know, the person, that business person that spent their whole life building this brand and this name and maybe, you know, think they're going to be bought or whatever have you. So,
yeah.
You know, or yeah. So go.
So, you know, I think for me, that really means that you are looking to your clients, looking to who your customers are, and then making sure that you live in the world that they live in, right? So for us, it's about writing the content that people want to find online. And it's living in that space. So answering and discussing the insurance questions that a lot of people have, but they're, I don't know, maybe too embarrassed to ask actually, you know? So that you go to the internet and ask your question within the quiet and the peace of your own home without actually having to pick up a phone or ask your agent, you know? And so living in that space where we're having all of these conversations online, whether it's on the website or in, you know, like Reddit, which is another social platform, or on, you know, our blogs or whatever. So it's making sure that we have the content and the conversations that we have with customers, that we actually have it online in a digestible format, whether it's a page or a blog or a social media post or something like that. So for me, that's what future-proofing
means. I got a little question there, Jason. Sorry, yeah. I'm interrupting you. And so I just want to clarify something on there because it came into my mind. And so because I see this a lot, because I'm on social media, I am following agencies, doing my job. A lot of times it's like what you need to know about umbrella insurance, really broad things like really
– right.
Things that would be typical, or, you know, here's what you need to know about commercial auto insurance. You know, obviously that's important, but is that what you're talking about? Or do you think it's going a little deeper to the real questions that people may have day to day?
Well, it's obvious. It's much deeper. You got to get granular. So, it's all well and good to have that content on your site, because you want to give a valuable experience when you send somebody there, especially if it's a potential client. But you need to have literally make a list, go to your account managers or sales staff or whoever it is, and say, give me a list of every question, or every time you talk to a customer on the phone this week and they ask you a question, write it down. Well, create a blog post out of every single one of those questions over the next month. Because that's the kind of questions that people are going to look for online that it's going to help you find new business. And you know, when you put that content out there and it's structured well and it's written well and it's rich with the keywords that it needs to have, that's going to find you new business. It's going to get people filling out forms or picking up the phone to call you or texting you or live chatting you or whatever your communication method is. But when you take whatever it is, those conversations, those questions, and you put it in a format online where people can actually read it when they search for that question, I mean, there you go. That's the future. People live online. People ask questions online. People, you know what I mean?
No, I get it exactly. And I think when people hear keywords are always, oh, I need to make sure I have auto insurance, I need to have commercial, you know, or BOP or whatever. Those are great big, huge words that are just everywhere is out there. But when we, you know, tell me about an example of maybe the more granular type things where some of those keywords may play and people would actually search. I'm sure you got back pocket an example here somewhere.
So say, I think I may probably mentioned this earlier. So say you have one of your account managers gets off the phone and they just spent 10 minutes with somebody because they had a wreck. It was raining. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have the little card in their car that says, you know, call the police, call this, you know, did it, you know, so it runs down the list. And so you write an article that surrounds that. So it would be, what do I do first when I'm in a car accident? And so that would be your article. And you would include content that makes sense. So like you would say, like, step one, do this, step two, do that. And then all the while you keep circling back to the fact that what you're talking about. Okay, I'm talking about what I need to do if I'm in a car accident. And then within that article, you talk about insurance and then you say, hey, let me give you a quote. So, you know, you kind of slide that in. But I think it's about more than just selling your individual products and talking about things that people actually need to know and care about, and then talking about your products too. So, you know, go ahead.
You're bang on there, my friend. And it's funny because you brought up the accident because I was sitting here thinking, you know, what to do in the event of an accident. And I'm sure there's listeners out there, there's agency owners and principals that are saying like, hey, I'm not a copywriter. I don't know how to write. I'm not an English major. But you know what? There's not a person that's listening to this podcast, I wouldn't think, that couldn't write a couple hundred word blog on what to do in the event of an accident.
Right. I mean, it's the internet's so conversational. You don't have to be a wordsmith. Now, if you just absolutely cannot write, I mean, I'm sure there's services out there, or you can hire some freelancer to help you out. But you're the one with the knowledge, right? You're the agent. You know how to talk to these people. You know how, you know, the appropriate terminology. You know how to advise. So do it online.
We agree. Anybody can write. We can leverage copywriters. And that's really key. So, where does someone go from there? Like, you know, any other examples?
I think the biggest thing that, that I've just told people over the years is just stay consistent. It's really, really, really easy to get super pumped and then to burn out. So the last thing you want to do is get your AMs to write down all those ideas, whoever it is you're getting ideas from, and then write it all and then publish it all and then do nothing for like 6 months. There's doing no value to you. Yeah, you're getting it on the website. Yeah, Google's going to index it and say, oh, hey, look, there's content there. But one of the things that Google loves is fresh content continually. So write it all, and get like six in the hopper and then post one every other week. And then when you feel like you're comfortable and you've got enough content, post one a week and just stay consistent. So that's the biggest thing when you're getting into the content marketing space is just pick a place, be consistent, and then scale as necessary.
Yeah. So I got a question there. And so we're always talking about the principal or the manager, perhaps, or marketing person writing.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on different voices writing? Like, does that matter? Like if, say, for example, you know, I'm the agency owner and I write 70% of this stuff, but then maybe I have an account rep that writes some stuff or a producer that writes some stuff. Like, does that matter? Or
absolutely. To an extent. But, you know, people read certain, like when it comes to just reading for pleasure, certain people read certain authors because they like the way it's written. So that's always going to kind of lend itself to your writing professionally. But I would say more often than not, just keep it conversational, keep it light. Don't make it stuffy. Don't go on and on about specifics. Just hit the points, explain why. And then get them to get in touch with you somehow.
Maybe veer away from the insurance lingo we like to use and make it like understand.
Yeah.
Average. You know, and remember that's who you're writing to, right?
Exactly. And you know, that's actually one of the new initiatives that we launched this year for us. We have a whole website called Insurance TLDR, meaning too long, didn't read. It's like internet speak. The whole purpose of that is to discuss and answer questions that are relative, but really, really short and explained concisely. Because we found that people don't want to read. So it's a site that's geared toward the next generation. So when you talk about future proofing, that's one of the big initiatives that we've done is try to be where the next generation is going to be. So it's a site kind of based on insurance for millennials. So discussing the topics that are interesting to them, like, hey, I'm leaving home, I'm moving out, I'm leaving my parents' insurance, what do I do? So it answers that question. But it also does, you know, ridiculous things like, I just hit a zombie, do I need comp or collision? Yeah,
that is awesome. I love that because I think we think so traditional, especially in this industry, about these things. But like now, see, there's an article that I think a lot of people would read.
Yeah, exactly. And it's short. Right? Yeah, they're all short format stuff, and I think you just got to be fun with it because people are not just going to be like, "Oh, let me Google what's happening with the insurance industry right now." That's not going to happen unless you're in the industry and you're caring what other people are doing. So I think you got to find, like I was saying earlier, you got to find where your customers live on the internet and go there or make a place for them.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, we, and this is a little contradictory, I think, to some things that maybe I know I've personally probably said. We get tied up in the idea of millennials, and it's really important to understand and focus on because they are the next generation. Mm. But don't fool yourself. Like, other generations are here too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like my dad, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I'm outing you here. You're like, so he's like 70 years old. Right. But guess what? When he wants to figure something out, he hauls out his phone or he hauls out his computer and he searches it up.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's 20 and 30 or 40 something's doing that.
Yeah. You know, the behavior kind of gets lumped in that millennial category just because like I'm on the far end of it. So I'm like one of the first year or two of millennials. And I don't consider myself like the stereotypical millennial, but I think there's just that trend to just kind of lump people into whoever's doing that new behavior, although it gets adopted by everyone else. So, but yeah, no, I get it. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, you know what? I think we could do a part two of this anytime and shortly leave the door open to that. I appreciate your conversation. I know I had like two or three aha moments. I love the future proofing your agency. I did not know about Facebook, what you share there. And I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's going to hear that and think, wow, I can do that. So I really appreciate you taking the time. But I think it's more important if people have questions and they want to track you down, how do they do that?
Well, I live in my email. So I'm over at jason@insurancehub.com. So feel free to shoot me an email. We'll chat.
Absolutely. So thanks again, and we'll chat again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.